Today on Family Talk.
Psalm 127 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain." King David understood that to have a prosperous life, God had to be the center of it. The same concept applies to us today as well. And welcome everyone to Family Talk, the radio division of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh with your host, distinguished child psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. Now, on today's broadcast, we'll be illustrating why God must direct our lives, and you're going to hear this illustration through Dr. Dobson's conversation with Ken Eldred. Ken is a very successful businessman with decades of experience in the corporate world. He started several financially lucrative companies, most notably InMac and Ariba Technology. He currently serves as CEO of Living Stones Foundation, which supports ministries with strategic resources to succeed. Ken has also authored three books, including The Integrated Life and God is at Work. In just a moment, Ken Eldred will reveal how a meaningful relationship with Christ filled the emptiness created by his career. He'll also stress the importance of having working parents examine how their careers may be impacting their family life. Here now is Dr. James Dobson to further introduce today's guest on this classic edition of Family Talk.
We have a very distinguished guest here with us today. I've met him on occasion, met him at the White House a few years ago, but haven't really known him until today. And I'm really anxious to introduce him to our listeners. He is Ken Eldred, who has been a very successful businessman for many years, having earned an MBA from Stanford University, and he was a visiting fellow at that university's Hoover Institute. Mr. Eldred is the author of three books, and we're going to talk about them. He is married with seven grandchildren, to whom he dedicated his most recent book. Welcome, Ken. It's really a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Let's go back to your early years when you were at Stanford and then shortly thereafter. You hit the ground running when you got out of graduate school, didn't you? I mean, it just – everything opened up to you, and you were very successful in business right from the get-go.
It was amazing. The business school was a place where they send you out like a proton out of a cyclotron. I mean, and you hit the wall. And with all the business tools and capabilities that you are convinced you possess, when you leave the school, you walk into environments, which I did at American Standard, and began to work there. And I ultimately became the strategic planning manager for a very large division. And I was very excited about what I was doing. And one day my boss called me in and he said, "Ken," he said, "I have some plans for you. I've changed your job." And in that 30 minutes, he changed my life. He didn't know that at the time, but he said, "Ken, I want you to take over. Instead of being a one-man band, I'm giving you 350 employees, seven groups, and which I want you to manage for the company. I'm giving you a new office in the corner, a secretary, and a significant pay raise." Well,
take your breath away.
I was over the moon. By the time I got home that night, I mean, I couldn't even stand not having the time to think about what this meant for me.
Were you married?
I was single and very excited about my future. And there I was lying in bed and I was plotting out my future. I mean, every day, day by day, what is it going to be like? And then I kind of worked my way up to the age of 60 and I ran out of gas. And I lay there, and as I was lying there, I heard a voice say to me, "Is that all there is? What if you wake up, Ken, at the age of 60 and find out that you missed it?" And I didn't even know what it is. I didn't know what that was. I was so sick inside and I was so bothered. I was afraid to tell anybody what I had experienced. I had kept it to myself.
Do you remember a song from way, way back by Peggy Lee called "Is That All There Is to a Fire?" Have you ever heard that song? And, you know, it's the same thing. She experienced these wonderful things and then said, "Is that all there is to a fire?" You went through that, didn't you?
I did. And it wasn't long after that I was married. Our marriage was somewhat rocky. We had no idea we didn't understand foundations. We didn't know anything. And we turned to California and we said, well, you know, we have a son, so we need to give him the same opportunity we had to decide about God. And we had made the decision that, you know, we weren't interested, but he had to have that opportunity. So like a good business guy, we set up a plan and, you know, we're going to go to this church and that church and that church. And we started where I went to church as a child. And God began to talk to me. And he began to say, Ken, you know, I want you. And you need to make a decision about who I am. Meanwhile, I've had 5 years of business experience. I'm, you know, excited about business. I love it. I had a great graduate education, and I really want to do business. And I thought, well, Lord, you know, if I become a Christian, you know, I'm going to have to be a pastor because isn't that what good Christians do?
Or a missionary.
Missionary. Yeah. And the thought was, I'm going to end up someplace in a hut somewhere in total poverty, doing something that was not exciting to me. And I thought, boy, this isn't a great idea of my – this is not my idea of fun. But the Lord said to me – and, you know, I'm trying to make a decision about him. And I'm hearing him speaking to me. And I'm speaking back to him. I don't really even understand this. And he said, so what? So what if I make you a missionary? And I remember one day in the parking lot where the Lord said, you know, so what? And I looked at – I listened and I just broke down and I said, I don't care what you want me to do. You're going to have to change the desires of my heart, but I can't go without having you in my life. And that was the day that my life changed.
Now, how does that link with what I read that I think along about that time you experienced 7 of the 10 sources of frustration or depression or damaging stress can really cause you problems. You went through a certain number of those there. Did that lead you to him?
Yes. That's what caused what I thought was the search. My marriage was rocky, and I didn't know whether it was going to last. And, you know, I wanted to get back home because I didn't want to leave her. You know, in Roberta, my lovely wife of now 40 years, I didn't want to leave her by herself in the East Coast. So I thought, well, we'll just move back to the West Coast and that'll solve the problem. But it didn't. And that's what was persisting. And the wonderful thing about this whole thing, she was the same place I was. And as we began to seek God and we walked into that church that day, we felt something very familiar. It was the Holy Spirit, but we didn't know that at the time. And we began to search. She went off for a weekend with the women of the church because I told her it would be good to get involved, to get to know what these people are really like. And so she said, okay, I'm going to go on this weekend. And in the back of her head, she was thinking, Los Gatos, California, antique center of the world, 2 days. Mm-hmm. I'll just slip into the back and slip out the door and I'm going antique shopping. I don't have to take care of the kids. I don't have to do anything. You know, Ken's got them and it's going to be great. She walked into the back of that room with the women as, you know, after breakfast and prepared to walk out the door. And that woman began speaking at that conference what she thought was right to her. Well, that Sunday night, she gets to our home and said, Roberta, I have something I have to confess to you. She said, I have something to confess to you. I said, this Saturday, I committed my life to Christ. And she said, so did I.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't it interesting, Ken, that the Lord wanted you?
Yes.
I mean, you were hearing his voice and that restlessness inside of you was a result of the fact that he had something he wanted you to do.
He did. And it's something that people really need to understand. We talk about the word integrity. And typically people think integrity is a sense of being righteous or being honest. You know, and that is a definition of integrity, but that's not the meaning of integrity in the Word of God.
It's really wholeness, isn't
it? It's wholeness.
Yes.
Exactly. And the thing that he loved about Job, and he said it twice, is he was a man of integrity. And in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, it says, a righteous man walks in his integrity, in King James Version. There is a righteousness But there's also a purpose for every man
and
every woman. And when we discover what that purpose is, and when we walk in righteousness, it says that our children will be blessed, you know, and we will be blessed, therefore. And too many people, and I was one of them, who was neither walking in truth or righteousness or integrity in the sense of where I was supposed to be.
Now, your earlier assumption that if you became a Christian and really were committed to Christ, that you had to be a preacher or an evangelist or a missionary, and that didn't prove to be true in your case any more than it did mine. Because I came through the same thing. And, you know, all of my family, all of the men in my family have been ministers, going back four generations. And the women were all married to ministers. It's just been a phenomenon in our family. And the Lord never told me to do that. But like you, I knew He wanted something from me. And wanted it early. And when I was in college on a tennis trip with other members of the team, I told them that I thought I was going to be dedicated to preserving the family, the institution of the family. I had forgotten that. And they told me that a couple of years ago because I still know these folks. It's been more than 50 years. But we were talking that day about what I thought the Lord was saying to me. What was He saying to you?
Well, He wanted my attention. And all of a sudden, I came across Psalm 37, verse 4, which says, trust in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. And so I said, I responded to Him saying, Lord, you know, I'm willing to be your servant, but you're going to have to change the desires of my heart because I really want to be in business. And it wasn't long after that that He opened the door for me. I mean, this was 1973. You know, we were in the worst, you know, down cycle we had had since the Great Depression. Stock market was down 48%. You know, people were out of jobs. I was out of a job. You know, and all of a sudden, the Lord opened the door for me in a job, and He began to prepare me. And he showed me the next verse. It took me a few months finally to get there. But the next verse in that same psalm is, you know, commit your ways to Him and He will act. So He put me in this company where I spent 2 years. And I thought, if I don't have to be a pastor, I don't want to be a weekend warrior. I want my faith to go with me to whatever I do, you know, in life. And I need to have God with me. So I went through this learning experience, and ultimately the company was sold, and I was now again without a job. It was still 1975. We had not recovered from this recession. We were starting to, but we hadn't recovered. And I sat with a friend and was talking about business ideas, and he said, well, I've got half a dozen of them. And he began to rattle these off. And in the middle of this discourse, I heard the Lord say, that's it. It was the idea to build a company around computer products. We built a company from zero, and that's a whole different story, to $400 million roughly run rate when it was sold in 1996.
My goodness. Now, when did you lose your dad along the line there?
When I was 27. It was one of the stressors, one of the seven stressors. Yeah. I lost my father. My job changed. I was married. I had an adopted son. We were living in a brand new house, living in a new state.
And you were very close to your dad.
I adored him.
Had guided you to that point.
He had. He was a very, very successful businessman, and he had been really helpful to me. He was not necessarily a believer. I didn't know much about that. He didn't go to church. But he was an honest man. He was a strong individual, and I wanted to be a lot like him.
You obviously went on to make an awful lot of money and had to decide what you were going to do with it. Where did the divine calling fit into that? Because running a business of that size, is a full-time job.
I mean, that's something that
could take you 80 hours a week. But the Lord was talking to you about that too, wasn't he?
Well, I still was not convinced at that as we started this company. And that was a couple of years later. This is 1977. I was not convinced that my role was to be in business. And we had started this company. It had grown up to roughly $2,300 a day in sales. And it was a very important point to me because, you know, sales rates, because we shipped everything same day. So if I didn't have any orders the next day, I was just out of business. It was that simple. There was no backlog, nothing. So all of a sudden, I began to see our sales revenues drop. And I went home to my wife and I said, you know, I'm not sure that God really wants me here. Is this really what he wants for me? You know, am I supposed to be in business? And she said, well, what's bothering you? And I told her about sales. And she said, well, then we need to pray that God would give us a sign. I said, well, that's a good idea. You know, said, what do you have in mind? She said, well, how about a $7,000 day? Well, that's four times what we've done in the past. I mean, I'm the spiritual leader of our family. I'm going, there's no way that's going to happen. You know, but I couldn't look not spiritual to her. So, you know, I said, all right, we'll pray about that. And I'm just sort of reeling from this idea. And we agreed to pray for 10 days about this. And at first, I was really afraid that, this, you know, what's going to happen? What's going to come out of this? Well, as God would have it, the 10th day was Sunday night. And we got up from prayer. I said, Roberta, I think God's going to give us a $7,000 day tomorrow. There was nothing in our data. I mean, it continued to drop every day. There was nothing in the data that would support that kind of an idea. So I went to the office that morning and I got my staff together and I said, we're going to have a $7,000 day today. Well, I mean, the looks on their faces altered from total disbelief to where did I put my resume? Yeah, this guy is cracked. I had one person, Nancy, who was in charge of customer service. And about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Nancy walked into my office. She said, hey, we could have a $5,000 day today, you know, with the sort of look of I'm letting you off the hook. You don't have to commit to this. I said, no, Nancy, it's going to be a $7,000 day. Well, at 5 o'clock, we get a phone call from Hawaii. It's 3 o'clock in Hawaii at that point. We're in California. And at 5 o'clock, we get our last order. Well, everybody in the office is excited. And, you know, we're a computer company, but we couldn't afford a computer. So we had a 10-key adding machine. And old Nancy, she's there just adding these orders up, you know. And at the end, she added them twice. Everyone was afraid to look at the totals. She looks at the two red numbers. It's $7,050. I call my wife and I say, guess what? She says, I know. You had a $7,000 day. Now come on home. The kids need you.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, talk about bursting your bubble. The next two Mondays, we had $7,000 days in a row. So we had three of them in total, and I never looked back. I said, I know I'm where God wants me, and I don't care what happens to this business. Hmm. Well, he built it into a $400 million business. And instead of $1,600 a day, which is what we were experiencing at the end, it was $1.6 million a day in revenues. Many people, business guys in particular, see their business as their child. And their work as something that is as valuable to them as a child. It is, of course, not. But in those days, that's the way I saw it. And God had to take me through a whole series of learning. And he had to get rid of a lot of thinking that I had and put in new thinking. And we went off to a retreat at Mount Hermon. And while we were there, the speaker put up on the screen a picture of a letter from the First Presbyterian Life Insurance Company. And it was 1 Timothy 5:8 was the verse, and it said that those that fail to take care of their family but are believers are worse than the heathen. And it struck me that God must have some sense of priorities. And I began to look around, and then sure enough, ran into Matthew 6:33, where, you know, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I thought, well, okay, well, that's got to be number one. And then, of course, taking care of the family would be my wife first, my children second. These are the things that I listed in terms of those objectives. I looked at my wife, who was number two, and I said, I need to have so invested with her, because that's what life is about. It's investing in people, and I need to invest in her. and we needed to have a strong relationship. I needed to bring my kids to a point where they felt that there was a value in God, that their life was important to them, and that they learned certain principles. So when they grew up, they would love me because I was available to them. So I put the time down for all those, and then I put down 8 hours of sleep because I needed the rest. And then I added it all up, and I looked at how many hours in a week were left, and it turned out I had 40. That was it. I thought, well, that's interesting. Now, some people, everybody's a little bit different because we walk in our own integrity in terms of what God has in mind for us. But so I thought, well, whatever business I get involved with, I can only do 40 hours a week. So I went to at about this time, I was starting this company, and I went to venture capitalists because I needed money to fund this corporation. And they were very excited about it. It was a great idea. It was really, you know, they thought it was brilliant and all of that stuff. And, you know, it was because it was from the Lord. But then I felt duty-bound to tell them that, you know, as a Christian, I could only work 40 hours a week. And that was immediately when their arms got very short and their pockets got very deep. You know, so I was without any funding, with the exception of some friends. And we went ahead and started the company anyway. And I think I am – in fact, I'm sure I'm the only entrepreneur in Silicon Valley that started a major corporation on a few thousand dollars and 40 hours a week. I was home at night. I realized that I had very little time at work to start – I mean, we didn't have anything. And so I said to the Lord, and it almost felt blasphemous at the time. I mean, I understand it now, but it didn't then. I said, Lord, I can't be here except 40 hours a week. You're going to have to take over when I'm gone. And he did. You know, when we honor him and we do the things that he's called us to do and we follow his priorities and we make his righteousness our responsibility, he does the outrageous in our lives.
Well, the title of your book, one of the three, is God is at Work, Transforming People and Nations Through Business. And I'd like to pick up with this book next time and with the thought that you just shared. Because God is a God of integrity. You mentioned that before, of wholeness. That means family and church and relationship with God and business.
Amen.
And you can't afford to get overcommitted to earning a living and forgetting the other three.
Amen.
Insightful concept to end today's broadcast of Family Talk. When we prioritize our faith and family, God will bless other aspects of our life as well. You've been listening to a timeless conversation today featuring Dr. James Dobson and Mr. Ken Eldred. Visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org to learn more about Ken's book, God is at Work. On our site, you'll also find a link for Ken's company, Living Stones Foundation. That's drjamesdobson.org, and then click onto today's broadcast page. While you're on our site, be sure you also check out our Station Finder feature. This tool allows you to see when Family Talk will be airing on any of our radio affiliates. Go to the broadcast menu at drjamesdobson.org and click on the Family Talk Radio Stations button. Once you're there, you'll see an interactive map of our entire radio network. Simply click onto your home state to see the stations and times, and you can listen to Dr. Dobson where you are. Visit drjamesdobson.org and take advantage of our helpful Station Finder feature. Another way you can listen to us is using Amazon Alexa. Now, this simple-to-use device allows you to listen to Dr. Dobson at any time of the day. Once you enable the Family Talk skill, just say, Alexa, play today's broadcast of Family Talk. Learn how to access our daily broadcast on your Alexa by going to drjamesdobson.org/Alexa. Thanks so much for listening today and for your faithful support of this ministry. Visit drjamesdobson.org to learn how you can partner with us financially. And be sure to come back again tomorrow for the conclusion of Dr. Dobson's conversation with Ken Eldred. That's coming your way next time right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
This is James Dobson again. Before we go, I'd like to remind you that Family Talk is a listener-supported program. If you've enjoyed this broadcast, we'd appreciate your helping to keep us on the air. As you know, we talk about everything from religious liberty to the sanctity of human life and raising boys and girls, among others. These are the passions of our hearts, and I hope they are for you, too. Thank you so much for listening and for being part of this ministry. For more information, go to drjamesdobson.org.
Hi, this is Dr. Tim Clinton with the James Dobson Family Institute. Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. I hope you know we genuinely care about what's going on in your life. If you're going through a dark time right now in your marriage, maybe your family, if you're in deep waters right now, we want to pray with you. Call our offices here in Colorado Springs at 877-732-6825. Our team is standing by to listen, to encourage, and to pray over you and your family. That number again, toll free, 877-732-6825. We look forward to hearing from you and praying with you.